Support for Science Friday comes from Northeastern University, where researchers are creating innovative science, technology, and policy solutions to make coastal cities sustainable. Learn how Northeastern is making tomorrow happen at northeastern.edu/tomorrow.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. On May 11, 1853, Henry David Thoreau made a note in his journal. "The first high bush blueberries of the season had bloomed around Walden Pond," he wrote. Now, if you walked around Walden Pond on May 11th, 2014, just a few weeks from now, chances are you would not see those little white flowers, Thoreau observed. The blueberry bushes are past the flowering stage. They would already be fruiting. For the past few springs, high bush blueberries have been flowering up to 6 weeks earlier than in Thoreau's time. Biologist Richard Premack says global warming is partly to blame. And for the past decade, he's been using Thoreau's own observations to track the effects of climate change around the Walden Pond. Dr. Premack is a professor of biology at Boston University and author of the new book, Walden Warming: Climate Change Comes to Thoreau's Woods. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Premack.
Ira, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You know, we all learn in school about Thoreau, the transcendentalist, Thoreau, the writer. We haven't heard much about Thoreau, the scientist, though.
Well, that's right. So Thoreau did make very detailed observations around Walden Pond during the 1850s, and these records were really not very well known to scientists until we discovered them about 12 years ago. And since then, we've been trying to make the same observations that Thoreau made around Walden Pond and elsewhere in Concord.
Mm-hmm. How detailed were his records? What kinds of things did he measure there?
Well, Thoreau was quite amazing. From 1851 to 1858, he spent about 4 hours a day walking around Concord, observing the first flowering time of over 300 plant species, and also recording the leafing out time of about 50 species of trees and shrubs, and also recording the first arrival time of dozens of bird species in Concord. So it was really quite an amazing record. As far as we know, it's probably the most detailed record of the timing of biological events anywhere in the United States, and also among the oldest.
Wow, so he really did spend a lot of time, I mean, very detailed time doing this.
Well, that's right. So Thoreau was amazing in so many ways. He was really a multi-talented person, and these scientific records of his were well known to Thoreau scholars. So Thoreau scholars knew about these tables that he'd made up, but as a biological resource, we're really just discovering them.
And so you're using these as to compare what you see today at Walden Pond?
That's right. So we walk around Walden Pond. So this time of the year, myself and my students spend several hours a day, several times a week, walking around Walden Pond, Minuteman National Historical Sites, and other areas around Concord, making the same observations that Thoreau made. What's also amazing about Concord is that Thoreau was actually one of a group of people at that time who were making these observations, but Thoreau in much more detail. But since Thoreau's time, there's been a whole series of ornithologists and botanists living in Concord who've also been making these observations. So we're just adding to what Thoreau started, and other naturalists in the Concord area have been continuing on up to the present time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I talked about the blueberry bushes would already be fruiting from that note he put in his diary. What else, what other kinds of changes have you noticed?
Well, quite remarkably, in terms of Walden Pond itself, that in Thoreau's time, Walden Pond generally thawed in the spring. The ice melted in the spring on the pond anywhere from the middle of March until the middle of April. But April 1st was a fairly typical year for his time. And at the present time, Walden Pond, at least over the last 20 years, Walden Pond has been thawing around March 15th. So there's been about a two-week shift in the thawing of the pond, the ice melting time. And actually in 2012, the ice melted in at the end of January, which would have astonished Thoreau. But we've also been observing that the trees in Concord have been leafing out about 2 weeks earlier than in Thoreau's time. So in Thoreau's time, for example, the Memorial Day celebration the Patriots' Day celebration mm-hmm. in the the middle of April. In Thoreau's time, the trees wouldn't have had their leaves on them yet. But in 2012, again, a very warm year, the trees had already been leafing out and flowering. So we're seeing these kinds of changes. Of all the changes, the ones which has really been happening the least is the birds. So the birds are coming a couple of days earlier, but they're not nearly as responsive as the trees and the flowers and also the melting of the ice on Walden Pond.
Is there a particular flower that he would have seen that you don't see anymore?
Well, that's right. There's a lot of things that occurred in Thoreau's time that are really now quite rare in Concord. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that we've also focused on as a secondary topic in our research, is that so many of the wildflowers that Thoreau had observed in Concord and that he recorded the flowering time of now are either not present in Concord or extremely rare. So one species which is extremely beautiful is the purple-fringed orchid. And wow. In Thoreau's time, it was very common in the river meadows. And now you can't find it there anymore because the river meadows have either been taken over by swamp forests because they haven't been mowed anymore. They grow up in trees. Or a lot of the meadows have been taken over by invasive plants. And so you don't see the purple-fringed orchid hardly at all. We only, in fact, have only seen one purple-fringed orchid plant in the 12 years of our research.
Wow, love to add that to my orchid collection. Can you tell how much of the changes at Walden are due to global climate change or other factors?
Well, this is research that I've been doing with my colleagues, particularly my colleague, Professor Chuck Davis at Harvard, and Charlie Willis, one of his former students. And through the analysis that we've done all together, with both the combination of the flowering time records and all these changes in abundance, we know that there's a lot of factors which are causing the loss of species. So, for example, deer populations, forest succession, invasive species, and air and water pollution. But it seems like climate change is also a factor involved in this, that some of the species which have been doing the best in Concord are the more southern species that like warm conditions. And also the species that seem to do very well are species which are very responsive to the fluctuating temperatures we're seeing now. So species which are flowering earlier in warm years and also leafing out are the ones that are doing very well. And the species which are not very flexible in terms of their flowering time and leafing out are the species which are tending to decline. So we can see that climate change is at least part of the fact, is at least one factor which is responsible for the loss of wildflower species in Concord, in addition to these other factors which I mentioned earlier.
Would you be able to see, and did Walden keep any records of, for example, animals or insects that you might see behaving or acting differently now?
Well, of course, the birds, as I mentioned, but
yeah.
One of the things that we really have struggled with over the last 12 years is to find good insect data, because it's really insects that connect the birds and the plants. So when the birds arrive in the spring, they're eating insects to feed themselves and also to feed their nestlings. And when the insects emerge, they feed on plants. So it's really insects that connect the birds and the plants. And for many years, we were not able to find any good records of when insects were emerging in the spring or their changing abundance over time. And then about 5 years ago, we discovered that a small organization called the Massachusetts Butterfly Club has been keeping extremely detailed records of butterfly flight times. And we find that butterflies are also extremely responsive to temperature in the same way that plants are. And then right around the time we published our results, a study came out of bees in New England, again showing that bees, wild bee species, are extremely sensitive to temperature. So what we can see with this is that the insects are really as responsive to temperature as the plants are, and that the birds in particular are not really responding to temperature. And there's a danger that when the birds come, they might be coming too late and miss the big pulse of spring insects and not have enough food to feed themselves or their nestlings.
Hmm. Was Thoreau at all himself concerned about warming temperatures, or would this idea be completely foreign to him? I mean, it was a lot colder back then, right?
That's right. So Thoreau lived at the end of a very cold period, which is called the Little Ice Age. And just after he died, during the decades after he died, the temperature of both Massachusetts and the world started to warm up as we emerged from this period called the Little Ice Age. And Thoreau was constantly talking in his writings about cold weather. He was always talking about frosts. When he planted his bean field when he was living near Walden, the beans and some of the other crop species were killed by late frosts. So he was often talking about how if the conditions just got a little bit colder in the world, that people would not be able to live in Massachusetts. And when we go out in the field, we're constantly talking about how hot it is because we're constantly experiencing extreme heat when we're doing our field work. I always emphasize to my students the need to drink water when we're doing doing our field work. So throughout our field experience and in our writings, we're always talking about hot weather. And that's, of course, permeating the media and culture right now, this idea of warming temperatures. But in Thoreau's time, people were just extremely concerned with cold weather because at that time, people were often heating their homes with wood. Right. And if it was too cold and they didn't cut enough wood, they could freeze to death.
Right, right. Does Thoreau offer any guidance for us today? But how?
I think Thoreau does. So in Thoreau's writings, he's often emphasizing the need to live simply and often the need to engage in society. So in Thoreau's time, he was very concerned about issues of slavery and issues of war. He was constantly writing speeches and giving speeches, writing articles. And I think that the advice to us would be the same, that we need to both reduce our emissions of greenhouse gases, which are causing this warming, and we also need to be involved in the political process and try to establish both a policy as a nation and also to establish international treaties to reduce carbon dioxide emissions.
Yeah, he was very much involved in politics, wasn't he?
That's right. So Thoreau was really making very strong speeches against slavery at his time. He wrote one of his essays on civil disobedience, saying if the government doesn't do what you want it to do and you think it's acting immorally, you need to resist the government. And presently, the United States government and many other leading countries are paying lip service to reducing greenhouse gases, but they're really not taking it seriously. At this point, the American public is convinced of the reality of climate change, but doesn't feel it's very urgent. And the point of this book is to demonstrate that climate change is something which is happening right now with a lot of the species that we know, like highbush blueberries or ruby-throated hummingbirds, and that it's really time to start doing something about it.
Well, thank you very much. A very interesting book, Dr. Premack. Thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Dr. Richard Premack, professor of biology at Boston University and author of the new book, Walden Warming, Climate Change Comes to Thoreau's Woods. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, just in time for lunch, we'll be talking about chickens and chili peppers and where they came from. In the meantime, if you want to read an excerpt from Dr. Premack's book, you can go to our website at sciencefriday.com/Walden Warming.